It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Jay, you don't think it was the game of the year?
No, Jay said it was.
It was.
I thought it was the game of the year.
You don't think it was, Key? But think of everything at stake and how unlikely it was that it would all work out that way. The Jags had to beat the Colts, the whole thing. It goes to overtime.
The game of the year. I mean,
Colts, it was up there.
Somebody was going to the playoffs. You figured both teams were going to the playoffs.
Could have been.
I mean, I guess. I go all the way back to week one, Tampa, Dallas.
But, Max, can we go back to another point? That definitely was not Stevie Wonder.
It was Will Smith.
This is Will Smith.
Yeah, this is the Will Smith version. There, yeah.
But the fact that you confuse Smith with Stevie Wonder,
all I heard was the tune coming.
I got you.
That's before your time. That's
why. Was this like you picking the Bengals on Friday doing the game with the straight face?
I picked the Chargers.
You did pick the Chargers.
The millennials here in the room had a problem with that. Yeah, by the way. We wanted to give our props to Will Smith.
I was like, hold on. We cannot let this get past. Not today. On this glorious Monday.
Alan's in here like, who's Stevie?
Stevie who? Let me look that up.
People say I look like Stevie Wonder when I put on the shades and smile. That's, yeah.
Or Curtis Granderson.
What? Okay. Anyway, moving on.
So I'll tell you what. That game last night, when you think of how unlikely it was for it to all wind up with the chips on the line like that and for it to come down to the wire, and maybe it would have been a tie, but the Chargers call a timeout. And by the way, I'm not wrong about Justin Herbert. He threw the game-winning touchdown in overtime. Mike Williams got to catch that. All that said, what a season for the Raiders. Key, what a season for the Raiders.
Yeah, considering everything that they went through, right, from the John Gruden things to the Henry Ruggs to the players with the gun
playing Call of Duty.
Real life Call of Duty, that is. To most recent DUI situation, just everything, you know, the former coach, the late John Madden passing away, just everything, you know, interim coach. But they stayed together and stayed the course. They didn't start to crumble. I think in situations like that, you see organizations and teams start to separate themselves and everybody save their own self by jumping off the boat, but everybody stayed together and they got it done.
They got it done. And Jay, I think it comes down to the coach and the quarterback, right? Because it's just an easier story to tell, and because those are leadership positions and everything. And you notice teams with coaches and quarterbacks, those are the teams that succeed. But I'm thinking about post-Gruden blowing up, and Bisaccia, and everyone seemed to like Bisaccia, and they won, and then they started losing a little bit, and it was like, well, I guess not, right? But I'm going to the coach and the quarterback. Bisaccia and Derek Carr seem to me to keep this thing together.
I mean, look, I forget who said it a couple of days ago about how Derek Carr has single-handedly kept this team alive throughout the course of the season. And I think that's something that sometimes you can undervalue. A guy's leadership ability, just them staying cool, calm, and collective in the midst of chaos, and that's what Derek Carr is. That's why he's so valuable.
So all that said, Pittsburgh beats Baltimore, and the Steelers are in, unless there's a tie in this game, and the Colts lose. And it was the scenario that I was hoping that we'd get to see. And late in overtime, it seemed like there was an acceptance that both teams are just going to make the playoffs, don't risk, you know, field goal and everything. Derek Carr was asked about the final sequence of the game. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
You guys are still tied. You're driving. This thing could have ended in a tie. Chargers call a timeout. How did that shift the strategy?
Yeah, it definitely did, obviously. But we knew no matter what, we didn't want to tie. We wanted to win the football game. Obviously, if you tie, you're in, and all those things. But my mindset all day, I even was texting with Aaron Rodgers this morning. My mindset was to make sure that we were the only team moving on after this.
That was Michelle Tafoya talking to Derek Carr. So I'll tell you what, guys, like right there, if Staley doesn't call a timeout, in spite of what Derek Carr says, it seems to me like that game ends in a tie, Key.
Yeah, the Raiders, as I was watching the game, they didn't really care, right? They would love to, if it popped, get the win, great. But it wasn't one of those situations where I felt like the Chargers needed to call a timeout.
Right, no matter what the coach said. If it popped, they were going to take it.
If it popped, they take it. If not, then you shot yourself in the foot when you called a timeout to get your team into the playoffs.
So, Coach KJ, listen to this and tell me what you think. Coach, why did you call a timeout in that moment?
Yeah, we needed to get into the right grouping. We felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
Derek Carr said after the game that timeout changed their mentality. Do you think that had any reason to do with them?
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we, you know, we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one back run defense in here, and that's what we did.
Was any part of the motivation for you saving time to potentially win it if they were to miss that field goal?
My mindset was to make the field goal as long as possible.
See, I'm not really understanding what he's trying to say, that they were gonna, it didn't change their mind. No, it changed their mind. Yes, they were running the ball. But when you call the timeout, they ran the ball and decided, oh, we could just kick the field goal now. If you don't call a timeout, yes, they're still going to run the ball, but not with the idea of kicking a field goal. On top of that.
What changes? Why?
Why what change?
Can you explain to people why the mentality might change when you call a timeout?
Well, because now you're like, okay, you're calling a timeout. You really don't want to get into the playoffs. So if we get closer, we're just going to kick the field goal. If we make it, great, we get 10 wins. If we don't, there's no time left on the clock. We all get a tie. So essentially,
you're giving them an incentive to kick.
Exactly. You messed up and did the wrong thing. Then you're trying to sell people that don't really understand what the personnel grouping was supposed, how you were going to put your personnel grouping into the game. You don't need to call a timeout because from the last running play to the running play in between the timeout, you got to shuffle in personnel groupings anyway. You have someone on the sideline who handles the personnel for you. So when you run the ball and that 24-second clock is winding down, your personnel is coming in and out. Give me two tackles, give me two defensive ends, give me four linebackers, whatever the case may be. Your personnel person says, give me that grouping. You don't need to call a timeout for that. That's why I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, it wasn't just that, though, Key, too. I mean, think about some of the questionable decisions that Brandon Staley made in the game, too. I go back to that third quarter, right? Fourth and change. Like, you know, they're inside their own 18, and they go for it. Like, you look at all these things, and you're like, man, are you just sometimes overcomplicating things, too analytical?
Let's hear from Rich Bisaccia, because that was Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers. Here is the head coach of your Las Vegas Raiders. Did you consider running out the clock for the tie, Coach?
It was a conversation we were talking about. You know, I don't know if you know, we ran the ball there, and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing, you know. And then we had the big run through there, and when we got the big run and got us, we thought it was advantageous field goal position for us. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it. But we were certainly talking about it on the sideline. We wanted to see if they were going to call a timeout or not on that run. They didn't, so we thought they were thinking the same thing. And then we popped the run in there and gave us a chance to kick the field goal to win it. So we were certainly talking about it.
He said they didn't. I think he meant they did because they did call a timeout, and it did change their thinking. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. One team needed two walk-off field goals in overtime to clinch a playoff spot. We'll tell you how that happened next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The Big Ben's got one more week. What does this team have left?
You know, I'm not sure how much they have left. Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, and Ben Roethlisberger. And you know, I do think that when you kind of have leadership like that, you're able to weather some storms.
Oh, now he's playing Stevie. Now they're going to tell me this is actually a remake from...
It was the millennial comment from Evan, man.
Yeah.
Try to get me.
You had to get
Keyshawn,
that in
J. Audience. Will, Max, ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80, your podcast, your smart speakers, ESPN 2. So that was crazy, that Steelers game. So many moments could have been... That's it for Ben Roethlisberger's career. And he was cool, calm, and collected at the end of the day. And sure enough, here come the Steelers in the playoffs, which is how it felt like it was destined to be. Here's the whole playoff series. We have three games with a playoff action. Saturday, number 5 Raiders at number 4 Bengals, 4:30 p.m. on NBC. By the way, imagine if Derek Carr goes through Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. These are the top quarterbacks from that class. Putting up big numbers. Oh, is this guy in the MVP conversation with everything the Raiders have been through? That'd be amazing. Number 6, Patriots at number 3, Bills. Right? Not just for the AFC East, but who moves on? Sunday, you got the Eagles at the Bucs. That's a 7-2 matchup. Imagine if the Eagles with Jalen. You know what Jalen Hurts' cap hit is? It's like $3 million. Playing Tom Brady and the Bucks, number 6, 49ers at number 3, Cowboys. Wow, that's a lot of pressure for Dak Prescott. Cannot lose to the Cowboys, and yet it could easily happen. And then the Steelers get the Chiefs. That's what they get for their troubles. They get to go to Arrowhead and play Patrick Mahomes and company. At least, listen, they're playing with house money at this point. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday, the Cardinals at the Rams. That's the primetime game Monday night. So this all leads us into one final game for Big Ben, who gets into the playoffs for the 11th and final time, one would think, of his career. Here's Ben Roethlisberger on if he thought about how this could be his final game.
It was crazy because my dad actually texted me last night, and asked how I was doing. I said, fine. It didn't feel... For whatever reason, it didn't feel like, okay, this is it. I think last week was so much more emotional. It took it all out, and it just made me feel like, let's go play. So it never, at no point during this game did I think, man, this is it. It's almost over. It just didn't feel like that, and I'm glad I didn't have those feelings.
It's crazy because it could have been over so many times. Tomlin didn't go for it on 4th and maybe a half yard, right? And then the Steelers get the ball back only because Minkah Fitzpatrick makes a play on Hollywood Brown. But in the nick of time, or like so many different moments, the Steelers season could be over, but it's not, Key.
That's Pittsburgh football, though, in general. It's just one of those... Nothing's pretty. It's always hard and clunky looking, but they continue to just figure out how to win games. Now they're in the situation.
Don't say it.
They might go to the AFC Championship game. So you might look up and they could. I mean, all you need is a bounce here or there, a fumble here or there, a twist of ankle here or there. You just never know. It's all about getting into the tournament. Once you get into the tournament, all bets are off.
I don't care what anybody. As an athlete, sometimes you just feel like things are destined to go your way, right? So the 2-minute drill by Ben, right? What a hell of a career for him, by the way, without one losing season as a complete team for a quarterback. Insane. 2 Super Bowls. Number 2, the Colts just dropping the ball to the Jags. That going their way. And then for the Chargers game and the Raiders game not to end in a tie.
for Brandon Staley to call that timeout. They end up winning. Like, all these things going your way.
That stuff is luck. But let me ask you something.
But that's what I'm talking about.
You Matt, bring up something interesting.
In order for this to happen, there's always an element of luck that goes into going to that next level. There always is.
Okay, I get it. But let me ask you both, as high level of you, athletes who competed at the very highest level of the two most popular sports in this country, right? It does seem like some organizations and some players and some coaches, the luck seems to break their way to the point that you go, at a certain point, it can't be luck. There has to be, like, luck is the residue of design, right? What is it? Can you explain in your own experience when you're on that kind of team? Have you ever analyzed it and been like, that's really what it was? It felt lucky, but it was really this.
Not for the team, from a team standpoint, but they needed everything else to go a certain way.
Yeah.
That part of it is luck.
But no doubt.
But what Tomlin and Ben and those guys have been able to do, that's just years of preparation, years of playing and coaching. So you know where your breaks are. But when you start talking about Indianapolis and Jacksonville, that's like,
no, that's dumb luck. Right.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
But no, yeah.
That's like, come on, seriously.
I mean, on the field.
Or you talk about the Raiders and the Chargers. I don't even know what that is. But on the field, for Pittsburgh, they just do the things the right way, and they've always done things the right way. And they know how to, if things start to look bleak, they know how to turn it around for whatever reason and get on the right track.
What was that line in Any Given Sunday? This is a game of inches, right? So those inches go miles. So Mike Tomlin, those are a lot of inches that you get throughout the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Watt, right? Those are a lot of inches you get throughout the course of the season with some of the details that they bring to the game. And I think those details, there's a cumulative effect. They add up and they put themselves in that position for the luck to be the residue of design.
And
right?
I think that's right, Jay. I know you're a chess player. You know, some people think like a grandmaster chess player plays a novice. Oh, they're going to checkmate him in seven moves. That's not how it works. What a grandmaster knows is the accumulation of small advantages constantly. Mm-hmm. Those little inches add up in the end game. And if you have leadership like Tomlin and Roethlisberger, they're constantly accruing these small advantages. And now, you would think, guys, they should be playing fast and loose, right? What do they have to lose? They weren't even supposed to be here. The Chiefs are the team with all the pressure in this game.
They got a lot to lose.
Who, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes.
But of course,
they're in the playoffs now.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to even. This is house money.
It ain't house money when you get to the playoffs. They thinking about getting to the Super Bowl.
Who do you think the pressure is on in that game more? The Chiefs at home against an overmatched team, or the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are a little lucky to be there, right? A lot of things had to go their way. You guys just said it at the end of the season. Who's going to be playing looser and who's going to be playing tighter?
Well, I think both. It depends on what part of the game we're talking about, but I think both. And when you get to the playoffs, because it's one and go home, both teams play tight, man. Because Pittsburgh still feels like, even though you feel like they shouldn't be there because they're playing with house money because of the regular season, the fact that they're there, now it's like, we here now. Y'all and us, we the same.
We the same.
Ain't no difference. You in the playoffs, I'm in the playoffs. I'm not the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not at home.
Yeah, but the Chiefs, Jay, they are at home. In a place that gives an enormous home field advantage with a quarterback and Patrick Mahomes that can do things that mere mortals can't, right? Like, to my way of thinking, Steelers, however you want to slice it, the pressure is more on the Chiefs in that matchup.
I was going to say real quick, pressure makes diamonds. And if you're Big Ben, you can't ask for any better scenario. Right on the road, great. In a year that I wasn't supposed to pan out, I had all these issues this past season with my salary and what was going to happen. But now I'm here. That's an opportunity. Thank you.
We are asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at KJ and Max, which road team is most likely to win a playoff game on Super Wild Card Weekend? Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. The College Football Playoff National Championship is tonight, and fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. One NFL team made their quarterback bed, and now they have to lie in it. He'll tell you what it means going forward.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
When he went no huddle and they started to make plays.
All the big games but light on time? Let us catch you up.
Definitely not fun ever playing against a no huddle offense.
Let's run the no huddle.
Whether you huddle, whether you don't huddle, it still comes down to just the execution.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. No Huddle is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. All right. We're going no huddle. As you heard, before Week 18 got started, we had another coaching change in the league. The Broncos season ended on Saturday with a loss to the Chiefs, and head coach Vic Fangio's tenure ended one day later. Fangio posted a 19-30 record in three seasons with Denver, which would make him a hero with the Giants. But at any rate, and the Broncos had now missed the playoffs in six straight seasons since winning the Super Bowl, the longest drought following a Super Bowl in NFL history, according to Elias. Here's Matt Hasselbeck on how attractive the Broncos' job is.
The Aaron Rodgers thing is hanging out there because this team has everything else. They've got the defense, like you mentioned, Teddy. They've got great weapons on offense. They've got a running game. I mean, this would be, you mentioned people are going to be lining up for Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator. I think head coach opportunity, like people would be lining up. This is a really attractive job. If you could sell and maybe get one of these big time, I'm talking big time quarterbacks like an Aaron Rodgers.
Two-part question, Key. How attractive is the Broncos' job, and who should they target as coach?
I think the job is attractive, regardless of who the quarterback is. There's only 32 of them in the National Football League, and a lot of them are not going to be available. What do we have, six, seven jobs become available when you think about the Denver Broncos? If Aaron Rodgers is a target for them, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, maybe he takes a sneak peek back at Denver, and that works for them. But it's certainly a setup for somebody to be successful. Who that somebody is, I don't know. I mean, it's still early in the process. There's a million coaches in college as well as in the pros that I'm sure John Elway and that brass over in Denver will be looking at.
Yeah, you have to wait until Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or whoever tells you who to hire, I guess. What about that, Jay? They brought in Peyton Manning, right? That happened, and they won a Super Bowl with him. Could they do it again with Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah, you bring in Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, that can change the dynamic of your team. As it relates to a coach, though, I look at a guy like me, like Kellen Moore, right? Kellen Moore has been on the sidelines, we talk about, for Dallas for a while, looking for an opportunity, depending for the right quarterback. You had a defensive-minded head coach that didn't pan out over the past 3 years. How about an offensive-minded head coach?
What do you think? And I know you've always been in the camp, especially if they make the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers is staying put. But I think Denver would be an attractive place for Aaron Rodgers, and it would also make that division the illest quarterback division. I mean, it would be insane. Rodgers or Russell Wilson, how attractive a spot is it for one of those quarterbacks, Key?
I think more Aaron Rodgers than I do Russell Wilson. I don't necessarily know that that the Denver Broncos will be all that interested in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has to fit into a certain category that the coaching staff wants there in Denver. And it's more, Russell Wilson has done some things that made you think, okay, he is going to take the next step. But if you look back in his career, those Super Bowl appearances was mainly about the defense of Pete Carroll. It wasn't Russell Wilson was not carrying Seattle to the Super Bowl, unlike Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Then on the field Sunday, the task was simple for the Indianapolis Colts. Beat the NFL's worst team, you're in the playoffs. But the Colts had not won in Jacksonville since 2014. And the Jags got the best performance of the year from last year's top pick, Trevor Lawrence. It all added up to a 26-11 Jags win, and the Colts are headed home for the playoffs. Carson Wentz did throw a touchdown pass. He also threw his first road interception of the year. Of course, he saved it for this moment.
Of course, for the biggest
and
moment.
And reflected on the missed opportunity. Here's Carson Wentz.
It sucks, honestly. You know, walking off kind of in disbelief. Just, you know, it's hard to fully reflect on everything. Right now it all happened so fast. But just even thinking back just to where we came from, dug ourselves out of a hole. You know, we're in control of our destiny. And then the last 2 weeks, just didn't get it done. And it hurts right now. A lot of reflection to come over the next handful of days, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's not a good feeling right now.
It does hurt, Carson. It hurts my damn bank account. Because you screwed my parlay yesterday. You were the lock. You were the lock. This was the game. Especially the way you came off the Raiders game. This was the game. Right? The game that gets you into the playoffs. I'm sorry. The Jags have an interim head coach. They're competing for the first pick in the draft. Right? You're talking about they lost 8 games in a row. They just lost 50-10 to the Pats. 50-10. You wait to this game to throw your first pick on the road. You throw two. You have a fumble. It just doesn't hurt for me. It hurts for millions of people, and it makes you question everything about the Colts and their leadership in this entire offseason.
Key on This Just In, my TV show at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. I took this as my bold prediction that the Jags would beat the Colts because I don't trust Carson Wentz under pressure. Here's the question. Is there a backup they can bring in if they really need a guy, or do they have to necessarily have a lesser guy because Carson Wentz's ego after the whole Nick Foles experience wouldn't be able to take it?
No, I wouldn't worry about that, but I don't think I think all you have to do is figure out how to make things better and run it back next year. Trying to find a solution at the quarterback spot for them right now, and they got a guy that's capable of doing it. Moments like yesterday, he can't repeat. There's moments that we've seen throughout the season that we said, okay, this is why he was a number two pick. They need to figure out how to stay with that more consistent.
Jonathan Taylor's almost ran for 2,000 yards, but we're questioning the quarterback, the guy that Frank Wright decided to go out and get. That's where we are.
Well, another season has gone by, and Carson Wentz will not win a playoff game because they won't even play in one. They had a good season. On the Jacksonville side, despite the win, the Jags clinched the top pick for a second straight year with the Lions win over the Packers. Meanwhile, at the top of the AFC South, the Titans had already clinched the division on Sunday, locked up the top seed in the AFC with a 28-25 win over the Texans. Tennessee went 6-3 without Derrick Henry. And now Mike Vrabel says it's time to use the bye week to get rested and get ready.
Well, the first thing is going to be to get healthy. You know, to use that time to get healthy. You know, we started dropping there late in the game. And then try to improve. You know, we were really doing a lot of good things defensively. And, this will be good. This will be a good week. And we'll be able to coach them hard, and they'll take and they'll respond to that.
All right, Key, how impressive has this run been for the Titans without Derrick Henry even?
Well, it's been impressive in general. With or without Derrick Henry, Vrabel's done a tremendous job since coming over from the Texans as a defensive coordinator and becoming the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But then when you get the rest and you get the opportunity to get Henry back in that divisional game, remember, there's only 2 games. You only got to win 2 games, and you're wind up in SoFi. So it's impressive. I mean, I think that they're going to be a better football team. There's no question about it with Henry. But, you know, it's an amazing job to be able to be where you were at when you lost him to where you ended up at and having a number one seed.
Jay, with all you got to do is win one playoff game at home, one home game, and you're in the AFC championship game. Is Mike Vrabel the coach of the year?
Yeah. Coach of the year?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach of the year. Yeah, right, Key? I mean,
he lost his
star running back. I mean,
but they was already on top, though, when he lost them.
Yeah, okay, but they went six and three.
I mean, we talked about whether Tennessee would be the team that they weren't
the number one seed in the conference at the time that they lost them.
Is it weird, though, Max, there's still someone, even watching yesterday, them being up 21-0, and then the Texans rallying 18 points, you're still like, ah. Like, you want them to be that team. I guess a lot depends upon how Derrick Henry comes back.
Coach of the year.
I mean, Bisaccia should be in the conversation. Bill Belichick should be in that conversation.
Probably should be Bill Belichick, Bisaccia, Mike Tomlin, Vrabel, I guess.
Andy Reid was in that conversation. They were dead in the water. They won eight straight.
You can't give it to Andy Reid, though.
No.
Good, because he's got the top quarterback in the National Football League.
I'm with
basically.
You on Vrabel, though. That's interesting.
Vrabel, yeah, maybe. He's got a good case.
He's working with a whole lot.
The Titans have a week off, right? And then they're going to get Derrick Henry back for the playoffs. He was designated to return from IR last week. So now the Titans have given the Titans 21 days to activate him. And in the NFC West, remember before the season, we're like, hey, three teams to the playoffs out of this division. And then it didn't look like it, but then it came down to two games for the division. The Rams controlled their fate to win the division after blowing a 17-3 halftime lead. However, Los Angeles found themselves in overtime with the Niners. San Francisco needed a win to get in after the Saints beat the Falcons. The Rams clinched the division when the Cardinals lost to the Seahawks, and the 49ers punched their ticket to the playoffs when Ambry Thomas intercepted Matthew Stafford to seal the 27-24 win in overtime. Here's our very own Harry Douglas 3 weeks ago on this very show on why the 49ers are a very dangerous team in the playoffs.
I just think they present a brand of football where you talk about the playoffs that you want to play. You want to control the line of scrimmage. They can do both of those things with their offensive line. You look at Trent Williams, a guy who's been doing it for a long time.
One of the best.
He's been doing it for a very, very long time. And right. I'll go to their center, Alex Mack, a guy who was in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan. So you just have that continuity there, and I think they're peaking at the right time to make noise. And, yes, I'm going to say it with my chest. I think they're the best team in the NFC West right now.
Wow. That's saying a lot, actually. Best team in the NFC West. To me, that is the hard out in the playoffs, the tough out, the Niners. I don't think people are looking forward – to playing them. Are they actually the most dangerous team in the NFC West right now, Key?
In the NFC West?
Okay, in the NFC? You want to expand it to the NFC?
I would probably say that they are right there because what they like to do is portable. They like to run the football. They got a big offensive line. They're strong. The defense is solid. I'm afraid of the back end of the secondary for them. But other than that, I think that they got Bosa coming off the edge and Armstead in the middle clogging things up. You got a great defensive mind right there. Running the football, as long as Jimmy G doesn't turn the ball over to the other team, you got an opportunity and a chance. The difference is that the problem is that they're not going to face the NFC West team in their opening playoff wild card. They're going to see the Dallas Cowboys, so it's a little bit different.
I will tip my hat to Kyle Shanahan, though. The way they use Deebo Samuel, man, it's been beyond impressive, right? You talk about he's become a Swiss Army knife.
He's a running game, a receiver's guy. Yeah.
He even mixed it in with the TD pass this week. So the level that they're playing at right now, we always talk about this, guys. Hitting the right stride going into the playoffs, I think, speaks volumes about carrying that momentum. And I think the 49ers are in that type of position.
What happens if Jimmy G goes to the Super Bowl?
That's what I'm saying. Like Jimmy G, here he is.
What if he takes them to the Super Bowl? I wonder how they would feel.
But why couldn't he? He's done it before.
No, it's not that he can't.
Can't.
It's just that you're at the seventh seed. You're on the road for the entire rest of the way. It's hard to do. There's not very many teams have done that. But if he did somehow do it, and Trey Lance is sitting there, and you trade all the way up to get Trey Lance to do it, like, what do you do?
Here's what's crazy.
Like, what happens?
I think Jimmy G is so slept on because he's not the strongest arm, all those kind of things. They could win the Super Bowl. And Jimmy G could play, as you say, Key, solid and sound football on the way to winning a Super Bowl. They'd still move on from Jimmy G. That's the feeling I get.
I don't know if they would, Max. I don't know if they would. It's hard to move on from a quarterback that wins a Super Bowl.
Or who's been to two, in four years.
Like you don't move on from that.
How many years or 4 years?
Been to a Super Bowl,
You just can't. Yeah. He's been already, but if he goes.
And wins.
Not even if he wins, he goes. Well, it's hard.
The team they played against moved on from a quarterback who got them to the Super Bowl. So
if he goes and they don't win, especially if he doesn't show out in the moment, they're going to be like, well, this is why we got Trey Lance, because we have a good team, a good scheme, and Jimmy G is good, but we need someone who can get us over the top.
If they go and they're playing every game on the road, Max, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. I get what you're saying, but it's so hard to go on the road and win. If somebody goes on the road and takes a team to the Super Bowl at the quarterback spot, and I know what you said, Jay, the Rams moved on for Jared Goff. They didn't move on from Jared Goff to 2 years later.
That's fair.
So that would be – and he only went to one. I'm saying if Jimmy goes to two, that would be hard for them to do.
Don't get it twisted. To me, I'm not moving on from Jimmy G. I'm a big fan of his, but it feels to me like the football world is not sold on him. The Niners are not sold on him. So what does he have to do to keep the job?
Football world is stupid, though.
Speaking of football world, are you guys sold on Matthew Stafford? I mean, four games now, eight interceptions in the last four games. And his interception in OT is the one that gave it away last
night. I'm so glad you bring that up, because guys, and as former athletes who are looking at guys like me, the media is like, all guys like me are doing, and now you guys too, we're just telling the story as we see it. And to me, the athletes write their own scripts. Matthew Stafford is about to write a very important chapter in his life as a football player. It's going to have an enormous influence on how we see the whole story. Because if he loses game one, we're going to look back at those three losses in Detroit. Hold on, Matt Stafford. You got a crew with you now. You still can't win when it matters. But if he wins right now, we'll look at Detroit and go, boy, they were sorry before they got him. They were sorry after he left. But when he was there, they went to the playoffs three times. And when they gave this dude a team, he went on a little run. Key, he's about to write the script. What's the script going to say? What's it going to say on the page after these playoffs?
If he take him to the Super Bowl, then everything is all good. If he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, it's going to be problematic.
But what do you see? Like Jay just posed the question, do you trust him right now?
I mean, I think he – I think he is capable of doing it with the players around him. They got a tough team against Arizona coming in there to beat they split. Arizona won in great fashion when they ran into SoFi and blew out the Rams, but that was at the beginning of the season. So things have changed. The Rams just beat them a couple weeks ago in Arizona.
Stop, y'all.
If he somehow doesn't take this team to a Super Bowl like they paid him to do, it's a failed season.
If they get by the Cardinals, which is going to be a battle, then they have to go through the Packers. I'm sitting here to tell you right now, the Rams are not going to the Super Bowl.
You know, like,
well, that's what they paid him and brought him in to do.
You know, it's not happening this year.
Justin Herbert didn't win and go to the playoffs yet, even though he's put up sick numbers. Stafford is a version of that. Number one overall pick, obvious talent, right? If he were to get to the Super Bowl even, if he were to win the Super Bowl, the way we think of Stafford, he would be elevated into that first bucket, as Key says. He would be, former number one pick, who balled out for a terrible team, and as soon as they gave him a crew, wins a Super Bowl, and look what he's done. And if he doesn't, it's going to be brutal.
Man, he's got to look, he's got to go to the Super Bowl this year. There's no ifs, and buts about it. They did not trade everything to go to the Super Bowl 3 years from now. That's not what they did.
Here's Matthew Stafford at the postgame presser addressing his influence on this team.
It's important for our team, you know, no question. The better I play, the better chance we have. That's NFL football. When the quarterback plays good, you got a good chance. I know that. So, looking forward to the opportunity going to play in the postseason, taking it one game at a time.
Yeah, he's got to play a lot better than he did. There's no question about it. Costing them games or putting them in harm's way. I think he's got 8 or 9 interceptions over the last 4 or 5 weeks. That cannot win you football games. You're going to lose games by doing that, because if you turn the football over against the Arizonas, the Green Bay Packers, they're going to capitalize on your mistakes.
Wouldn't it have been easier to play the Eagles instead of the Cardinals,
by the way?
No! So it's not a big deal that they lost that game?
Dude, Max, it does not matter who you play. It's the playoffs.
Wait, it does matter who you play.
No, it does not.
But I thought it's about matchups, though, Key. Don't matchups mean something?
Matchups mean something, but what makes you think that playing Jalen Young Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles is a better matchup than the Arizona Cardinals for them. Doesn't matter. You've got to play.
I mean, that's the mentality of a competitive player. But if you are dispassionate about it and just analyze it, you're like, look, does it matter, Jay, in the end? You might be 60-40 to beat one team, 55-45 to beat another team. It's almost the same thing. But there is a marginal difference among, even among playoff teams, there are better teams and worse teams, better matchups and lesser matchups. I'm not saying the Eagles couldn't have won had they played the Rams. I'm saying I think most people would agree Cardinals are more likely than the Eagles.
And doesn't it make it more tougher because of the divisional matchup? Like, that's a team that you've seen so many times. But you understand who they are. Like, there's something to be said about that.
Coaches aren't coaching to look for matchup.
I understand I'm not saying that.
They're not saying scoreboard watching, oh, we need to win because we're running from them.
Yeah, I'm not saying
that. Or we need to lose because we're running from them. They're not doing that. Now, the Eagles, obviously, it would be a tall task for the Eagles to go into L.A. and beat the Rams, where Arizona's already done it, and they've seen them a couple weeks ago, so there's some familiarity there over the last couple years. There's no question about it. But it's hard as hell, man, to get a win in the playoffs. I don't care who you are.
But no doubt. But it's hard for both teams. So that kind of cancels out, like, someone has to win. One of these teams has got to win. And I'm just saying, look, the Rams.
Man, Matthew Stafford better not lose, though.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're talking about.
He just better not lose, though.
He better not lose. You know what? Real quick, because we have a little bit of time. I'm thinking about which quarterbacks, we should do this as a segment at some point this week, which quarterbacks can least afford to lose in the playoffs. Like you just said, Matthew Stafford better not lose. Well, to me, Dak Prescott better not lose. Aaron Rodgers better not lose. Right there.
But one of them got to lose because there's only one of them going to represent the NFC.
But there are some quarterbacks where if they lose, I'm thinking about Kyler Murray. You go, you know what? It's not his time
yet. Yeah, but nobody's put, but Kyler Murray is not being paid $30 million a year. They're not paying him that type of money.
You think it's just the contracts that dictate that?
But okay. The contracts is how we judge you at that position. Nobody is paying bum quarterbacks at the top three or four in
or
the league.
Or very young ones because they haven't been around long enough yet.
Like, so, right. Kyler Murray, hey, happy for you made the playoffs. In other words, the fact that Kyler Murray isn't paid
reflects the fact that it's not his time yet because he hasn't been around long enough yet.
Yeah. That's why Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen could lose in the playoffs. And then,
I understand.
And
it's just the fact it's against the Pats, though, and that rivalry between their head coach and Bill. It's just all that.
There are some dudes, guys.
So many great matchups right now.
There are some dudes with more on the line, even among those who got paid because of the whole script of their careers so far. And Stafford might be at the top of that list, given the way all that got put together, his career, the whole thing. 49ers were not the only team to get in the playoffs with an overtime win. Wait till you hear how the Raiders got to the postseason. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.